All right, let's go back to the Lord in prayer as we pray over the Word this morning and the message. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning. We lift up those who are gathered here this morning in Word. We lift them up in message. We ask that you open our ears and our spirit to hear your Word and to take it in as you have conveyed it. Lord, be with us as we worship you together this morning. Be with us as we read your Word and share in a message. We ask all these things in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. But more importantly, we do all of this in the glory of God. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning comes out of John 4, 1 through 13. And so, obviously, this is a very familiar story perhaps to you, but it is one of my top 10 favorites. I am not going to read the entire chapter of 4. If I did, we'd never get through the message because there is so many things found from God in John 4 regarding his visit and his time at Jacob's well with the Samaritan woman. So we're going to read just simply John 4, 1 through 13. So I am in the New Living Translation, so if you are in a different translation, no worries. We will get through this together. So let's go and see what Jesus has to tell us this morning. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Through Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water?" she asked. "And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals have enjoyed?" Jesus replied the following words, "Anyone who drinks from this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning. And it certainly is good to be back with each of you in this beautiful place we call home and many call Bethel. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and it's another great day for us in the life of our Christian walk. In fact, the day is so beautiful, the temperature is so mild, and the sun is so brilliant, this is a great day to go fishing. Right? Now, when you go fishing this afternoon, please take your pole and reel, but also take your faith. And when you seek out the fish in the stream, also seek out the fish that are lost and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I know some of you may have questioned the statement that I stated to you last week in my message. So I want to spend just a little bit more time on that today, not really for clarity, but just to bring home and circle back what I was trying to say. In other words, I left you the opportunity to think about it in hopes that you would, and maybe you did and maybe you didn't, but I want to circle back on that statement. And I believe I said Jesus Christ meets you right where you are. This morning we have read from the book of John the story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And as I told you, it's at least in my top 10. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And as we read this passage, there is so much to learn about Jesus and His grace, we're not going to be able to cover it all in this short message. Not at all. Nowhere close. So I encourage you to go and read the entire passage and chapter of John 4. But you know, Christ, through His ministry, told many parables, didn't He? You all remember the parable of the shepherd who left the 99 in open country to find the lost lamb. We all remember that story. I'm also sure that most of you remember the woman that lit a lamp and swept the house and searched carefully for simply just one lost coin. Neither the shepherd in that parable or the woman shrugged their shoulders and thought, don't worry about it. It's only one. It's not going to make us or break us. We can live without it. Neither the shepherd or the woman thought that. The shepherd sought the lost lamb, and the woman lit the lamp and searched for the coin. Nor will our shepherd, Jesus Christ, think or act that way. Let me put this to you in some other type of perspective. Everyone seated here this morning is in a family relationship of sorts. And in those family relationships, there are many people in your circle that you love. But I'll speak directly just to the parents and the grandparents in the room this morning to try to put this in perspective of Jesus and how He sees you and me and those people on the riverbank where we're going fishing. How far would you go? To what peril, to self-injury, would you take? And how long would you search? And to what degree or expense would you pay if one of your children were lost and couldn't make it home? I'll give you a minute to think about that. The glorious message to these two parables is just that. We are lost people, for sure. But Jesus hasn't given up on us today, nor will He ever give up on us tomorrow or the next day. You know, have you ever asked yourself, really, why did Jesus come to the world? Have you really ever thought about that? Now, we're taught why He came, but have you ever really thought about, well, you know, why did you come? Well, He actually answers that question. Jesus Himself answers that question. He tells us very clearly in Scripture to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save that which is lost. So let me make this fact very clear. Uncomfortably clear to some of you who say you are seeking God. Now you remember last week I said, stop your search. He's already here. Don't look for Him. He is looking for you. So I'm speaking to those who say, well, I seek God. The New Testament states or describes the actual opposite. In the text in the New Testament, it doesn't show or describe people seeking Christ at all. In fact, it's quite clear. None are seeking God. In the first example with the shepherd, the sheep had deliberately gone from the flock. He left. In the second example, the coin had mysteriously disappeared, but neither the lamb nor the coin had the ability to search for its owner. Neither the lost sheep nor the lost coin was going to seek a thing, look for a thing. What we find in the Bible is this: the Lord God Almighty is actually searching every single second of every single day for His people. I find that that theme, personally, of these two first parables is solely God seeking me and you. I find Jesus saying here personally, Derek, God is seeking you. Now, I've used this statement before, but there's a great friend of mine who I come to know through this church and working in the leadership in this church. He's spoken here before. He's played music here before. But every time he wanted you to do something, he would come to you and he would say, hey, Derek, listen up. Brian, listen up. Dave, listen up. That's what he would say. And then he would say these words: Jesus and I have something to talk to you about. Well, that pretty much summed up the conversation, because you weren't getting out of what he was getting ready to ask you. And I find that very similar here. God seeks us every day. The Lord God Almighty seeks us every day. But what scares me a little, in fact, it scares me a lot, many refer to seeking God in the wrong context. What they are actually seeking is a better invitation than the one they actually had. That's scary. You see, God invites you into His kingdom, but you get to choose which invitation you answer. That's pretty scary to me. Some are wanting to hear the gospel with more excitement. You're wanting to feel the gospel maybe more deeply. You desire to hear it more persuasively, perhaps, so that you won't have to make that painful journey that's required of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And how churches, mainstream churches, are doing it today, and I'm not taking away from anybody or any ministry here in the valley that does it different than we do. But a lot of people use a lot of draws to bring folks to the pews, or bring folks to the social halls, or to the church events. And that's wonderful. We do similar stuff here at Bethel. But you see, you've been invited from day one to serve Jesus Christ. You have been sought by Jesus Himself day one. You don't need warm and fuzzy feelings. You don't need, as my mom used to say when she would say something that moved her, I have goosebumps. You don't need the charge that comes with all the extracurricular activity of God and God's people. What you need is a relationship with the Word. And when you are centered and focused in the Word of God, those warm and fuzzies, those goosebumps, those charges that you're looking for, that more inspirational message will come to you through the Holy Spirit. It'll come through you through the living water that we shared with the children this morning. It is found in each and every one of you, and all you simply have to do is share and live it. I am saying to you that you have no need to search for Christ, because He is here. He is here this morning. He's here where the gospel is preached. He's here where the Word of God is read. He's here where all of His followers sit together in covenant with each other. Jesus is present this morning. Your search is over. The Lord Jesus Christ today is not an object that you have to search for because He's lost or He is somewhere in some mysterious place that you're seeking. It is not true for a single moment that our Savior or the Holy Spirit is so far from you that you have got to seek it. It's actually in you. It's given to you. Somewhere in your daily walk, you will figure out, as a Christian, when God is speaking to you, when He is sharing His gospel with you. We hope it is when you're present here in worship, but it may not be. But be cautious when you believe something is calling you to do something in particular. Know the difference. And when you live in the Word and live in the Spirit, as all of you do as Christians, you will know the true calling of Christ. You do not have to seek. It has already found you. And it will call upon you daily. Friends, let's go back to our text this morning. Jesus stopped at the well not just to break Himself, not just to refresh Himself. He came to the well to find. And what He found was purposeful. History teaches us that there was really no need for the Jewish people or Jesus or the disciples to take this route that He took, that took Him past Jacob's well. In fact, there was a bypass. So the Jewish people and the Samaritan people didn't have to connect. And if you read deeply into this story and you study it just a little bit, you'll know that she came to the well midday so she would not make contact with anyone, including the people she lived with. Scripture says that Jesus stopped at the well to refresh Himself. So why did Jesus actually take this route? Why? Remember, Scripture also says, well, the disciples had been walking with Him the entire time and they went on to the village to get food and refreshment. But yet Jesus stops. This was a detour for Jesus because He was in search of her. Now, because Scripture says that He stopped there to refresh Himself, I absolutely believe that. But I also believe this fact. When He stopped there, friends, to refresh Himself, Jesus had not one cup nor a rope to get water out of Jacob's well. To refresh Himself, He was intending, to give living water to a sinner. He sought her in His detour to Jacob's well. So I go back to the Samaritan woman. She left home that day immersed in sinful ways. And if you read about her, she'd been married multiple times and was living in sin outside of matrimony. So she was immersed in sin when she came to the well that day. And she left home purposely attempting not to make contact with anybody. You see, there was more to this break, and that's the title to your message. It was more to this stopover at Jacob's well. It's more to the break that Jesus took at Jacob's well for rest. Jesus sought her that day. Jesus Christ at Jacob's well found the sinner, and when He was done, He dispatched a disciple that saved an entire village. And when you read into chapter 4, you will see all the miracles that Jesus Christ did through the Samaritan woman. Today, sinners grumble that it's all so hard to follow in faith, that church people don't love them. The sermons are too long and they just simply don't understand them. The truth is, they don't want Jesus to find them. That's the truth. They choose not to see Him for who He is. But oh, what grace our Savior has. Oh, what grace. Jesus still pursues them even when they deny Him. Romans 2:4 says, we learn the following in 2:4 in Romans. Jesus has brought people and opportunities into our lives. Listen to those words again. Jesus has brought people and opportunities into our lives. There is no coincidence that you cross paths with certain people. When you do, as I said last week, Jesus meets you right where you are. That path crossing is exactly where you're supposed to be in your walk as a follower of Jesus Christ. Just like the man or the shepherd in the parable, Jesus comes seeking every lost sheep. And just like the woman in the second parable, Jesus has lit a lamp in the world. And it's through the beacon of hope that each of you carry that lamp is lit. And He has swept the house. And the house is the world. And He has swept the house and the world in search for the lost. And friends, He's found each and every one of you. And He persisted until He found you. Until He found you. I'm a believer today. Derek Almerode stands before you as a believer today because God went on the hunt for an inconspicuous sinner like me. I try to follow the rules all the time, but I sin as much as the rest of you. And God found me. Jesus found me. He made up His mind to find me, and so here I stand. If I must profess to you, I really never looked for Him. He found me. Yes, in the end, I chose Him, but I chose Him because He chose me first. I love God today because He first loved me. I found Him right here in this very church because He first found me. I bring a different perspective to the pulpit this morning. Not that I will remain behind this pulpit any length of time, but this morning I bring a different perspective because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in this very sanctuary. Why? Because He was here. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He shall be also. And lo and behold, He found old me. As John Newton says in the writings of his famous lyrics, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let me share some Bible study knowledge with you as we close this message this morning. Coming from our Bible study class held every Thursday evening at 6:30 here at Bethel, multi-denominational, 40-plus, 50-plus people attending, here's what we've learned in the book of Acts. And we've studied now 20-some lessons into our 21st lesson of Acts. And in doing so, we've been forced into Corinthians, both of which Paul is present. Listen to this as I try to paraphrase some of maybe what Paul said. And some of these things Paul actually did say. Listen to this. Not many wise, but human standards are found. Not many influential, not many of noble birth, but God found the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God found the weak things of the world to shame the ultra strong. God found the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. Thus, you and I, as believers and followers of Christ, go forward in humility. But I can say this, can't I? I am a God-fearing and loving, believing Christian this morning, standing here in this chapel, because I have found you. And I have found the truth. And I have found heaven. I can profess that, right? Not. We are what we are today, guys, by the amazing grace and love of our faithful and searching God. That's why we are here. We haven't found heaven. We haven't found the truth. And we really haven't found each other. You see, God has placed us here. And He has provided us the friendships that we share. We are the crossovers. God has brought us to this place where we hear His truth. And we see our eternal heaven together in Jesus Christ. Jesus found you. He found me. And He will find all of those out there through this ministry and your devotion and leadership and abilities and love that you bring to this church, this ministry, this community, through all the things you do, not just in church, but in your daily walk. He will find those who are lost. Jesus will leave this place this morning of some 70 or greater to seek the one who didn't make it through our doors. And so should we. So should we. So let me profess one thing to you this morning. Again, a different perspective from this very place. A young man in his early teens professed his faith in God in this very building, among this very family of believers. It was through your grace, your mercy, your sense of home, your welcoming, all the things that you brought to this place each and every week, your families, everything that you've done is what brought us as younger people at the time to God right here. So I want to draw a parallel to this beautiful sanctuary and this beautiful place that we call the house of God to Jacob's well. Now, I'm not sure, because I didn't see all of you come in this morning, but did any of you bring a cup? Anybody bring a cup? How about a rope? Anybody bring a rope? You didn't, did you? You didn't need to. You see, Jesus is here. And He's going to give you living water. And you don't have to draw that on your own. It's been given to you. So the parallel of this beautiful sanctuary this morning is, it is the well of the living water. We call it home. Today, it's just like Jacob's well. It's where we find Jesus each and every time when we arrive. To God be the glory in that. Amen.